The following is a lecture entitled Stop Worrying and Start Living, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 2nd, 2016, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So I've been asked to speak tonight on the topic Stop Worrying and Start Living. So what does that title imply? Well, if you're worrying, you're not really living. In other words, worrying is an unnatural state of consciousness. Because actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has unlimited love for every one of us. And He's arranging everything perfectly for every one of us how to get back to Him as soon as possible. So the only real difficulty is we're not harmonizing with Krishna. That's the only really problem we have. There's no other problem. There is no other problem. One problem, the only problem that each and every one of us has in our lives is a lack of Krishna consciousness. Out of that we have no problem at all. Because whatever arrangement you're in, whatever situation you're in materially, it's simply Krishna's arrangement to help you come back to Him as soon as possible. Whether you're rich, poor, sick, healthy, young, old, white, black, this citizen of that country, citizen of that country, doesn't. All these arrangements are perfectly orchestrated by Krishna to bring you back to Him as soon as possible. We simply have to learn how to take advantage of our present. Each one of us has our present situation. We have to simply take advantage of whatever situation we're in and by dovetailing it fully with Krishna, that's all. And that's really all you have to do. It's such a simple thing. All you have to do is remember Krishna, really, and all your problems are gone. The only reason we have anxiety is we keep forgetting Krishna. We think other things are more important than Krishna, and that is a difficulty. So, you've got to get your priorities straight. Krishna, 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 yes. It's always the number one priority, pleasing Krishna. It's the number one priority at every minute. Whatever you think about, whatever you say, whatever you do, it must always be for the pleasure of Krishna. But we're totally conditioned to do just the opposite. We're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, and that's the difficulty. The way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, everything is pivoting on this principle of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. And that doesn't work. Because it's like the hand trying to enjoy separately from the stomach. Your hand needs nourishment also, just like your body, just like the rest of the body needs nourishment. If you just try to squeeze the food in the fingers, you're not going to get any nutrition, is it? But if the hand cooperates, the body feeds to the, you know, puts the food in the mouth to route it down to the belly. Then it will get the nutrition it needs by serving the complete whole. So the point is, you have to serve the complete whole, not to try to enjoy separately for the complete whole. The complete whole is Krishna. So how do we then reorient ourselves to get ourselves doing things in the right way? We're so conditioned to being self-centered instead of Krishna-centered. How do you then change your... It's habitual, you see. We're habituated to putting ourselves in the center. And that is the crux of all of our anxieties. We're habituating to putting ourselves in the center. So how do you break that habit and establish a new habit? The good thing about it is it's not an artificial thing, because naturally you put Krishna in the center. That's our original natural consciousness. This perverted state of mind of putting ourselves in the center is artificial. Just like, what is the natural state of water? Ice or liquid? No. Naturally it's liquid, you see. Artificially it becomes ice. So right now we have ice-like consciousness instead of water-like consciousness. Our natural position is to be Krishna conscious, not to be self-centered, but to be Krishna-centered. So how do you bring the ice back to its natural position of water. You have to put it in the proper environment, a non-freezing environment, you see. So all we really have to do to get ourselves back to that original pure state is to put ourselves in the proper environment. That's what the Krishna consciousness movement is for. It's to create an atmosphere where you can simply be in that atmosphere and tune into that atmosphere as fully as possible. And by doing so, you will naturally come back to your original pure state. You've had it locked within you for millions and billions of lifetames. Jivara Sarupahoi Krishnara Nityadas, the constitutional position of a living entity, the eternal servant of Krishna. So all you have to do is get back to your original pure state of consciousness by being in that atmosphere where Krishna is the center. And that's the purpose of these centers of the Krishna consciousness movement. We read this morning, Prabhupada says, in these centers, you get 1,000 times benefit for any spiritual activities that you do. So these centers that Prabhupada has established, and his movement has established, they have a very powerful potency for bringing you back to your original pure state. So one has to, as far as possible, visit these centers and render service in these centers and to these centers by supporting them financially, by volunteering your time and your energy to engage in the activities of the center. In this way, you gradually recondition yourself, or better to say, decondition yourself from all the false self-centered conditioning that you've been foolishly holding on to for millions and billions of lifetimes. In the material world, it seems very unnatural to be God-conscious. Many people say God does not exist, or God is impersonal, or, you know, don't get too much into religion. You have to just, you know, you go to church on Sunday and you pray for your daily bread, and that's about it. To be totally religious is considered fanaticism by most people, you see. But that's their fanaticism, you see. Because to be completely religious or completely relinked, the word religion comes from the Latin word religio, which means to reconnect. You see, to be relinked with the Supreme, that is the natural position. The hand is meant to be connected to the body. It's not meant to be disconnected from the body. So, just as the hand is properly situated, connected with the body, you, the living being, are properly situated when you are connected with Krishna. And if you're disconnected with Krishna, you're in a very perilous condition, a very perilous situation. No matter what you may try to do, you'll never be satisfied. Dushparena nalena cha. You'll never become satisfied. You have to then find out from the scriptures, from the bona fide spiritual master, how to actually reconnect yourself with Krishna and come back to your original natural state of consciousness. So this is the great mercy of Guru and Krishna. They bless us with this seed of bhakti. Brahmande brahmate konda bhagavanji guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. After the living entity wanders in the material world, in the jagat, the universe, through millions and millions of forms of life, the 8,400,000 species, when he is indeed most fortunate, he gets by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna the seed of bhakti planted within his heart. So if we find ourselves in that position, that somehow or other we've been blessed with the seed of bhakti, better take full advantage of it, you see. If you have a seed and you don't water it, it's going to die. It'll die. But you have to water the seed. This hearing and chanting process is the watering process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By regularly watering that seed, it fructifies. becomes a little seedling, and then gradually becomes a creeper, a devotional creeper, which traverses the entire universe. It actually breaks through the coverings of the universe, which are very thick, and it goes all the way to the Goloka Vrindavan, and it enwraps itself around the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So when you come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, you hear submissively from him. Then you're getting the seed of bhakti planted in your heart. So now what you do with that seed, that's up to you, you see. You can say, I don't care about this. So many people got the seed today by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra downtown, you see. What are they going to do with that seed? Most of them won't do anything. They got the seed of pure bhakti by hearing the kirtan, by seeing the devotees there with their tilak and their smiling faces, getting some prasadam, getting a flyer, getting a book. They got the seed. What are they going to do with it, you see? Someone who's very, very fortunate, you see. Konyabhagyavan jeev. A living entity who is very, very fortunate. Bhagyavan means fortunate. They will take advantage of that seed. They'll say, oh, that was amazing. What, amazing. They had some consciousness there. There was some amazing vibration or some feeling I never felt before. Let me check that out. Let me look at this flyer they handed me and find out where they have meetings here so I can learn more, you see. So, this process works. 100% guaranteed. If you follow this process exactly as it is given, you will get the desired result of pure love of God awakening within your heart as soon as possible. You don't have to wait millions of lifetimes. In this very lifetime, you can become a pure devotee of Krishna. You simply have to follow the instructions. You have to follow the guidelines. Don't invent your own process. We see sometimes people come to our movement, they even get initiated. If they want to invent their own process of Krishna consciousness, you see, it doesn't work. You can't invent your own way. You have to follow sampradaya vihinaye mantrasteya nishpralamata. You have to follow the authorized path coming down from Krishna, you see. Your spiritual master is there. You have to remain always the obedient servant of your Guru Maharaj. You can't branch off on your own and do your own thing. It doesn't work. You just become a shadow of a devotee then. You have to follow you have to obey your spiritual master. You have to be subordinate to him. That's how you become powerful in Krishna consciousness, not by declaring independence from your spiritual master, from the leaders, you see, of our society. You don't become powerful, but you become weak by doing that. Those who remain loyal to the instructions that Prabhupada gave us, to follow the leadership, to follow the spiritual master, now those who remain loyal to this principle, they become very powerful in Krishna consciousness. Actually, Prabhupada, it's amazing, one statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explains that if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagad Guru. And under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. Wouldn't it be nice if one of our members did that? One of our devotees could make the whole world Krishna conscious. That'd be really ecstatic, wouldn't it? One of our devotees, one of our men and one of our ladies can become so pure that by their influence the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. We're waiting for that day. One, at least one of us could come to that level, you see. And when that happens, so the whole world's going to be impacted, like unbelievably impacted. So we should all strive for that. Strive to come to the level of Shuddhanam, when we chant the holy name of the Lord without any offense. Should strive for it diligently. Every morning here in the temple, we recite the 10 offenses. It's not just some exercise. One has to meditate deeply on the meaning and always try to avoid them throughout the day. Not only when you're chanting, but at every minute. We have to try to become completely pure. You may say, well, I'm so contaminated, it's so discouraging, I didn't even think about it. But no, it's not like that. Whatever little progress you can make is your greatest asset. It's not that you have to, you know, I think, well, I can't become a pure devotee, it's impossible, forget it, I'm too lusty, I'm too angry, I'm too greedy, I'm too crazy, you know, I'm too lazy, I'm too envious. No, just try to become a little more Krishna conscious every day. Every day, just try to be a little more Krishna conscious than you were yesterday, that's all. If you do that every day, before you know it, you're going to be entering into much higher levels of Krishna consciousness, where the nectar is so sweet, you won't believe how sweet it is up there. You see? It's available. All you got to do is go for it. You see? It's available. There's the impure stage of chanting, the clearing stage, and the pure stage. Even if you can't reach the pure stage, if you can just become solidly situated in the clearing stage, you will feel great ecstasy. Because you feel how all the burden, all the anxieties, all the worrying is just being cleared off more and more every day. It's purging of all the negativity, all the nonsense. It's been tormenting you for millions of lifetimes. You can actually feel how just going away, you can experience the difference in your consciousness. Wow, you can just be go, wow, this is amazing. I remember what I used to be like, and this is just amazing what Prabhupada and what my Guru Maharaj, how much they've been able to transform me by their mercy. You see, if you really take it seriously, you'll be amazed at what's going on inside you. You don't have to travel anywhere. You'll be traveling within your heart. You see, this is the... As my Gaon Godbrother said, the journey within, you see. There's an amazing journey awaiting you. And the ticket, the price of the ticket is faith. Just have faith in the process. And then you can take an amazing journey within your heart. Krishna is actually there. The whole spiritual world is there. You just have to begin that journey by having faith in the process. That all begins from faith. Shraddha is the first step, to have faith in the process. Then once you have faith in the process, then what do? You sadhu sangha. You associate with devotees. You see, that's the next step. And by associating with devotees, then gradually all your anarthas go away, because devotees say, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, you see. By associating devotees, I think, well, I guess I should give up this cigarette. I mean, devotees, I know it's bad for my health, and devotees don't smoke, so why should I smoke, you see? So by that sadhu sangha, then the anarthas start to go away. You become more and more purified, more and more purified. And then you actually reach a stage where you become fixed up, you see. Those anarthas, you give up all those anarthas, one anartha, another anartha, you just keep giving up all the unwanted things. And you actually enter into a stage, nishta, you become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. Boom. Solid, you see. It's a very, very exalted platform to come to nishta, being solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada used to say, fixed up devotee, you see. Then you can be actually fixed up devotee, you see, nishta. A very exalted position, you become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. And then when you become fixed, then the most wonderful thing happens. It becomes the sweeter than the sweetest honey. When you chant Krishna's name, or you hear about Krishna, or you talk about Krishna, or you bow down to Krishna, or you serve Krishna, then it becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey. It becomes so ecstatic. You see? And very, very ruchi. It becomes very, very sweet. The flavor becomes very sweet. It becomes so intoxicating. Just to think about Krishna, you become intoxicated just by thinking about Krishna. You see? And then You become so totally addicted to Krishna, there's no question of any other attachments anymore. Now you just become head over heels, madly in love with Krishna. You can't even not think about Krishna for a minute. That's called the asakti stage. And that's the beginning of pure devotional service. You become totally attached to Krishna. And then at that stage you actually realize your eternal identity in Krishna's pastimes. You're not there yet, but you know what it is. And then you go to a higher level where you feel the emotions of that relationship with Krishna. Start to feeling the emotions of that particular relationship. And then finally become fully instated in that relationship, Krishna Prem. So it all begins with faith. You see, you just have to have faith in the process. That's all you got to do, just have faith. The Prabhupada is not cheating me. You see, Prabhupada is not cheating me. He has no ulterior motive to exploit me. So in this way, if you take this process with faith, you take good association, you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That's actually stated in the Nectar of Devotion. The system of how to practice bhakti yoga is given in numbered steps, actually, in numbered steps. Step number one is take shelter of a bona fide guru. Actually, the first three steps are sufficient. If you do these first three steps sufficiently, you'll make it to the perfectional stage. Just like we have a tripod here holding up the microphone, also this video camera's on a tripod. Another tripod back here. Tripod means solid, you see. When you have three legs, it's solid. Two? No. A duopod or a monopod? No. The tripod is solid, you see. So we have a transcendental tripod, which is given by Rupa Goswami in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion. Number one, take shelter of bona fide spiritual master. Number two, get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. And number three, obey him. And if you neglect any one of those three, it's not going to work. You see, all three have to be there. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. Many people took shelter and got initiated by Prabhupada. They didn't obey him. So where their position, whereabouts unknown spiritually. You see. But those who actually take shelter of the guru, who get initiated by him and obey him faithfully throughout the whole life, they're guaranteed to achieve Krishna Loka at the time of death. And they wake up with Krishna's pastimes. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. Say, well, you know, I'm a young person right now. I don't have to worry about it right now. Later on, I'll think about it when I retire, you know. Now I've got to think about my career. Well, how many people die young nowadays? Many people die young? Sure, there are people dying young every minute. So how do you know you're not going to die in the next 20 minutes? Do you have any guarantee you won't die in the next 20 minutes? So you better take it seriously now, you see. Better take it seriously right now. Because you don't know, according to your karma, when you're going to leave your body. Better take it seriously right now. Very seriously right now, because you don't know. Time and tide wait for no man. See, when it's your karma to leave the body, you're going to be gone to your next body. So take advantage now. You have the opportunity to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, to get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and to obey the bona fide spiritual master. Take advantage of it while you have a chance. Otherwise you might find yourself in the animal kingdom with no opportunity for many lifetimes. Take advantage now to do that. Be intelligent. Don't be a fool. Don't be a moron. Don't be an imbecile. Be a wise person. Take the opportunity now to seriously take up Krishna consciousness. And I guarantee you, your anxieties will be gone. You'll see how Krishna is arranging everything perfectly for your spiritual perfection. One just has to learn how to harmonize with it, that's all. So I can ask now, there's some questions. What time does the lecture end? What's our schedule?
When you stop.
It ends at 7?
You can go for as long as you want to.
Go as long as I want?
Normally we have 4 hours, you get 7, but
okay.
Just go into that.
Okay, so we can have some questions now. If anybody, if there's no questions, we can just roll into the arti here in great ecstasy. Roll into the arti. Kiba jaya, jaya. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Or any challenges? Let's see, whose hand was first? Her hand was first? Okay.
I would like to know the difference between taking shelter from the spiritual master and having receiving initiation.
What is she saying?
What's the difference between taking shelter and taking initiation?
Yeah. A rough analogy, but what's the difference between being engaged or getting married? Is it? It means you're in the process, you're moving in that direction, but when you... it's signed, sealed, and the contract is finalized. That's initiation. Shelter means you're getting ready for initiation. Now I'm going to follow you. This is the person I want to get initiated by. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to hear his teachings. I'm going to inquire from him. I'm going to bow down to him. I'm getting ready for initiation, you see. The spiritual master... It's recommended that you should study the guru for at least 6 months, and he should study you for at least 6 months to make sure this person is really serious. You should make sure the guru is bona fide, and he has to make sure that you're bona fide, that you're really serious about, you know, being obedient for your whole life. So shelter is that time when you check each other out. You see, he checks you out, and you check him out to make sure this is really legit. And when you're finally convinced, and he's convinced, all right, now we'll sign the contract. That's initiation. That now the spiritual master takes the responsibility that I will remain in this material world. As long as you're here in the material world, I will take birth here to deliver you again and again if I have to, you see. I'll take birth to deliver you again. To take birth again to deliver you. So the spiritual master makes a commitment to deliver the disciple. And the disciple makes it come, I will follow you, I will accept your orders, my life and soul for all of eternity. You see? It's a very, very, it's the most serious vow you can ever make. So shelter means you're getting ready to take the vow. And initiation is now you're doing it. And obedience is what comes after. After you take the vow, now you have to follow your vow. And that's what separates, as we say, that what separates the men from the boys, or separates the ladies from the girls, you see. Who can actually obey for the whole life? You see, and without deviation. Always chant the rounds, always follow the principles. That's the main thing. You see. Who was next? Next hand was yours? Okay.
Srila Gurudev, I was wondering, this morning we talked about ISKCON Tirthas and how ISKCON centers, they were very powerful.
Yes.
And we created a Tirtha today. In Copenhagen?
Absolutely.
But the people who are not aware, like, do they also get this 1,000 times increased benefit?
Absolutely. Anybody who walked through that area and heard the holy names and saw the kirtan, they have received the greatest good fortune that they've gotten in millions and billions of lifetimes. They don't realize it yet, but they have received it. I even think back in my own, I can look back in my own past. Just by hearing about the Hare Krishnas. I was remembering today, I didn't know about the Hare Krishna movement, nothing. But I remember I visited one friend in Denver, Colorado back in 68. And she mentioned the Hare Krishna dancers in the East Village. You know, the first center was in New York. She had seen them. And she just mentioned the Hare Krishna dancers, she called them. She was actually a professional dancer. So she thought the dancing was pretty cool, the Hare Krishna dancers. And I just thinking back, that wow, just by hearing that, she said the Hare Krishna dancers. And I still remember, that's like, how many years ago, how many decades ago? I remember her mentioning the Hare Krishna dancers. So every little thing, it has a very big impact. And any little kind, even somebody, not even a devotee, talks about the Hare Krishnas. You see, there's potency there. Somebody saw that. They said, oh yeah, I saw those Hare Krishnas today. It was pretty cool. They may go home and tell their wife or their husband or their parents or their friends. Yeah, they were going, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, the benefit is just spreading out. And it will impact people's lives for years and years and years. Just for that one thing of going out. That's why Prabhupada told us, go on Sankirtan every day. Daily Sankirtan was Prabhupada's instruction. Go every day in Sankirtan. Anything else?
You also talked about these different steps, like Nishtha and Ruchi, Ashakti and all these.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, at like the moment of death, like when one is at the end,
yeah,
one can make like rapid advancement, and like if one is not yet at like the highest level of like love of God,
Krishna can throw you some bonus points if you need it at the end. It's like when I took a Sanskrit course one time. After I became a devotee, I took courses for different reasons, because I was house sitter working a job, and I took some courses to enhance my work, my ability to get jobs and this and that. And I was always making A's in the courses. But when I took Sanskrit, it was really tough. Whew. Sanskrit is a heavy, heavy subject matter. Sanskrit grammar, you know, the diacritic, the Sandhi rules and everything. It's a very, it's quite a heavy subject matter, Sanskrit language. So I was having a tough time on the final. Very tough time on the final exam. And I went up to the professor, and professor gave me said, let me give you a bonus question. He was very kind. He said, if you answer this question correctly, I'll give this many points. So I made a B in the course because of the mercy of the professor instead of a C or a D, because he threw me some bonus points on the final exam. So Krishna, if a Sanskrit professor can do that, what is speaking of Krishna? And Prabhupada, this is confirmed by what Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Goswami in India. Devotees were just thinking, yeah, we can just, you know, just chant Hare Krishna, have kirtan, you know, take prasadam, read the books, just relish the mellows of Krishna consciousness here in India. But Prabhupada sent Tamal out to deal with government officials and all this heavy, heavy stuff, you know. Had to get in a, you know, have to spend hours riding in the taxi cab across Bombay to go to talk to some government official. He was doing this every day, the whole day. He felt so drained out. That where is my Krishna consciousness? Because he probably made it in the GBC and he was going to do all this heavy management stuff. Where is my Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada told him, he said, if you would just give this one life completely in the service of Lord Chaitanya, whatever you're lacking at the time of death, he will cover for you and take you back to Godhead. So you just give your whole life in service. And if you're lacking in any way, the bonus points will come in at the end. So you'll get that little, you'll get that little zap of bhakti. Whatever you need. Anything else? There's nothing else, we can stop here. Yeah? Oh yeah. If you like the subject matter and then we have a nice book that'll help you go deeper into stop worrying and start living. And my disciple here, Kornatai Das Brahmachari, he will be happy to let's see. Well, actually, how should we do this? People would like me to sign it, I'm sure. So anybody wants a copy? How much are they going for?
100 kroner.
Okay, anybody who wants a copy, they're available. And I got a few hands going up. And I'll give you a written blessing here. And so we'll stop here now. Anybody who wants a book, come on up. Y'all come, as we say in Texas. Y'all come and get your book. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai! Jai!